Good afternoon, everyone. My wife is sick, so I had to make sure there was somebody with a voice. Even then, there's no guarantee. I think I've said this before, but having two sisters and no brothers, and three daughters and no sons, and then now I have six grandsons, I can honestly say boys are quite different. I know I was never like that, but anyways, now it's wonderful having grandsons, as long as they're good. Right, boys? I'll be watching you. Okay, and remember, when I speak today, my intention is to speak to the kids as well. Because I think it's important that you kids don't just play and goof off, even though that's a struggle to maintain that sometimes. Before I open the Word of God, I wanted to talk about something in my past, and the title of this today would be Be Prepared. When I was growing up in Canada, at the age of eight years old, my parents had me join a group, and it was called Cub Scouts. And that was a group for boys from the age of 8 to 10. They enrolled me in Cub Scouts, and I learned a lot of things. Learned that you're not supposed to fight with everyone you see. You learn to be more respectful. And they taught us a lot of good things, not just about camping and outdoorsman type things, but social-wise as well. And then I went from there to Boy Scouts, which is from ages 11 to 14. And that's where I learned more of my outdoor stuff, you know, tying knots, starting fires, setting up camp, hiking, trailing in the woods, doing all kinds of obstacle courses that they set up for us. And then you get to the point where if you're careful enough and kind enough, they'll make you a leader of a group, and then you have to lead those boys to do things. So it was very good in developing character. And then from there, we went into a group ages 15 to 17. It's called Venturing. And that was a lot more disorganized, probably, than what it should have been. And there were fellas who joined that who had never been in the first groups. And so they were really rough on the edges. Those are the guys that would always want to pick a fight with you, or and the leader would have to say, hey, no fights, guys, no fights, you know, take it outside next time, things like that. But I was looking up the purpose of Cub Scouts, and it says character development, spiritual growth. I don't remember anything about spiritual growth except for the fact that we did have it in a church, so maybe that was a spiritual part, I don't know. Family understanding, respectful relationships, personal achievements, and it had some other things too. And then when it came to the Boy Scouts, their thinking is they want to build leaders and prepare Canada's young people for future success, help develop their abilities to think critically, to plan, to innovate, and to use information in an original way, and are taught to be positive and trustworthy, embracing values like kindness, this one here I'm not so sure about, and acceptance to make meaningful contributions to creating a better world. And I thought, well, most of those things is what we want to see our children develop into. We want to see those characteristics built up in them. And so when I thought of being prepared, I thought my motto in Boy Scouts was be prepared. And that's what they were teaching us. So today I want to turn that from Boy Scouts to us. being prepared. So there's a lot of things we can be prepared about. But what's the most important thing to be prepared about? Does anybody know? Can any of you young guys, young kids, young girls tell me, what's the most important, Paul? That's right. Be prepared for God. Okay? So, there's a verse in the Bible that says, prepare to meet thy God. Are we prepared to meet God? Because if we have our sins, God is going to punish us for our sins. And He is going to send us to hell. And we don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. So we need to prepare to meet God. So if I'm going to prepare to meet God and I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven, what is it I have to have?
You have to have salvation.
That's right. I have to have salvation. So what is salvation?
It's basically being saved by something from someone else.
Okay. Well, let's take it to the Bible salvation so we don't have to be so vague, okay? It's being saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's real simple. And sometimes we make it so hard and so difficult and, you know, I want to get saved. I think I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Nobody can know if they're saved. Nobody can know if they're going to heaven. But the truth is, every one of us can know for sure that we're going to heaven if we're going to heaven. Now, usually the people that aren't sure if they're going to heaven, usually, I'm not saying always, but usually they're the ones that probably don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and don't read the Word of God. We can know for sure that we're going to heaven. We can be prepared to meet God and be with Jesus Christ for all eternity by putting all our faith and trust in the work that He did on Calvary's cross. God punished His own Son for my sins. And I believe that with all my heart. And that's why Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day, and now He's in heaven. And I'm going to be in heaven with Him one day too. And I don't care where heaven is. I don't care if heaven's even here on earth. I don't care. Because I'm going to be with Him. So I'm prepared to meet God. So again, the message is, be prepared. So even as a young child, the scripture says this. You might think, well, you know, little children can't know Jesus. But the Word of God says this. Suffer or allow the little children to come unto Me. You see, even as a little child, you can know Jesus Christ as Lord. And you can know that you will be in heaven with Him. You can be prepared before you leave this building today. Obviously, there's a lot more things to be prepared about, though. Sometimes when we as Christians are faced with challenges in various degrees, I sometimes wonder if I'm as prepared as what I think I am. Do I respond the way Jesus wants me to? Do I respond like Jesus Christ would? A lot of times I don't. Like my anger flares up, or I say things I shouldn't, or I think things I shouldn't. And so, how do I counteract? How do I respond? How do I learn to respond properly? How am I to be prepared properly for these things? Do I know the scriptures, Bible verses, truths, and principles that God can bring to my mind because I've learned them? And can I totally lean on the Word of God and on Jesus Christ in every situation? How do I respond when my wife says something a little sharp to me? Do I get defensive? Usually. Do I lash back? I used to. Now I kind of don't say anything. And the scripture is very clear. It says a soft answer turns away wrath. A lot of times if you just keep your mouth shut, you won't have the arguments and the disagreements. I had a situation just this past week to give an example of how things can go. I was picking up some construction material. I know I haven't opened the Word of God and read from it, but we're going to get to that. I'm leading up to it. I was picking up some material, and I have it in my trailer, and I'm going to the gate, and the guard's there, and they have the gate down, you know, to go through until they inspect. And it was a gloomy, cold, drizzly day, and, you know, I was going to have to get this stuff over to the job site and try not to let it get too wet. And it wasn't raining, but it was drizzly type, and I wasn't feeling the best. I'd been sick this whole week. Just basically got over it. Friday felt good, Saturday felt better, today feel wonderful, but not 100%. And so I said to the guard, put my window down, I said, kind of a bad day, huh? he gave me a response that I was not prepared for. I disagree. Oh yeah, you do? He says, it's a great day. He says, I'm in my little shelter here. There's a roof over my head. I'm warm. And I don't have to hardly do anything, but I'm working. I thought, well, I guess it's all in your perspective, isn't it? It's all in your perspective. But you didn't have to be so bluntly disagreeable. That's how I felt. I didn't say anything. But I could have said, yeah, but you don't realize what I got to go through. I got to take this stuff out in the rain. I'm going to get soaking wet. I'm already cold. I'm going to have to do this by myself. Nobody's going to help me. You don't understand. But I didn't say anything. I restrained my attack and kept it to myself and thought to myself, I can't believe that guy was so disagreeable. Sometimes we just can't stand it when somebody disagrees with us. I certainly wasn't prepared for that anyways. So how are we at preparing for any situation? In other words, how do you get prepared for every situation? The Word of God. You see, we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. You want to live for Christ, you can have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, but that doesn't mean you're going to live for Christ. If you don't know, there's two things that you have to have in order to be able to live for God the way He wants you to. The Spirit of God dwelling in us, which we get at salvation. You say, how do you know you get that salvation? I know I've beat this horse to death a couple of times already in the past messages. But I'm going to bring up another verse here that makes it very clear that every one of us have the Spirit of God dwelling in us at salvation. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? When Paul wrote that to Corinthians, he didn't say, now some of you this is for and some of you it isn't. He wrote that to the church, inclusive of believers, of all believers. Know ye not, don't you know that your body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God? When we get saved, we get the Spirit of God. But you know, that doesn't make us fully ready or prepared to respond the way God wants us to. The second thing that you must have is a knowledge of the Word of God. If we don't read our Bibles, if we're not spending time in the Word, if we're not spending time meditating, if we're not spending time throughout the day praying, you see, some of you kids here might think, well, you know, we pray at meals. Well, we're thanking God for our food, and that's something we should do. Well, I pray before I go to bed. Well, that's something that we should all be doing. But throughout the day, there's different ones here who have been sick. There's different ones that have been announced. They're traveling. There's different ones that have had issues. And so during the day, let me give you some personal examples, but not... Anyways, when I think of somebody, when God brings somebody in my mind during the day, the first thing I say is, God, I don't know why you have them on my mind, but I'm going to pray for them now. And that happens often several times in 1 hour. And how many hours are you out in the day? You know, 6, 8, 10, 12? So I can be praying for different people that God brings to my mind all throughout the day. I can be praying for different believers here. When some of you go away on trips, I seek to try to pray for you every single day without missing. And usually it ends up oftentimes, several times, I'm praying for you throughout the day. There's some of you that I don't communicate with a whole lot, but I'm praying for you throughout the day. And so you can pray a lot. But we must know the Word of God in order to be prepared for things that come into our lives. I wrote this down. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. We're going to look at a portion of Scripture. This is really what's been on my mind. The book of Daniel. Chapter 1. And I don't think the things that I'm presenting today are really deep and profound as much as simple and necessary. Sometimes we're just not aware, consciously aware of what we need to be doing. You know, somebody has said that it's important that we don't raise kids to have more than we had, but for them to be more than we are. You see, so often we get the idea, well, I love my kids, so I'll just buy them whatever. Buy them, and then all the toys and everything else end up in a corner and all over the house, all over the floor. And there's other children in other parts of the world that I saw this one lady, and she told me that when they were growing up, they found a plastic pop bottle, and they put leaves around it and stuff, and that was her doll growing up. That's what she had as a toy. One toy. Plastic pop bottle. That they put leaves and grass around to make it look like a doll. And yet our kids have so much. And you know what? They want more. You can ask my grandsons. In fact, Blake, if you go to a store with me, what am I going to buy you? Nothing. They know that. You know what? I don't have to worry about them saying, can I have this? Can I have that? Can I? They know from the start, we go into a store, I'm not going to buy them anything. Now, does that mean I never buy them anything? No, but it's rare. They have so much, they could give away all their toys and supply the rest of the world. Okay? But they want more. It doesn't matter how much you buy, kids. We always want more. It's like a millionaire. How much money does a millionaire want? Just a little more. It's greed. So it's not a matter of raising our kids to have more than we had, but so that they'll be more than we are for God. Amen. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And I'm reading from the NIV in case some of you are trying to follow along. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of the God in Babylonia and put in the treasury of the house of his God. Now I want you to notice something. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim. The Lord delivered Jehoiakim. So Jehoiakim could go, why do I have these problems in my life? And the people of Jerusalem could go, why do we have these problems in our life? Why is this enemy fighting against us? Why are there things going on that are wrong? Well, it's really simple. If we look at ourselves, the way God looks at us, we are very sinful people. We do a lot of things we shouldn't do. We think a lot of things we shouldn't think. We act in ways that we shouldn't. So anyways, at this point, God, the Lord, delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand of the Babylonians. Then verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, or master of his eunuchs, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Now this is what this guy had to happen, okay? I want you to think of this for a situation. You kids are at home. You get up in the morning. You hear the call, breakfast is ready. Fantastic. You go downstairs or go to the kitchen, and there's breakfast laid out for you there. And, oh, this is wonderful. My parents are the best. They provide for me. Look at this great breakfast. I get this every day. And then at lunchtime, mom makes me a lunch, or we go buy lunch, or dad makes me lunch, or dad forgot about lunch today, but hey, maybe we'll get it tomorrow. And then supper, and we have supper as a family. And during the day, you get to go out and play, and you have some friends, and you can play with them, and brothers and sisters. And you go through the routine of your life, and during the day, mom and dad are maybe mom and dad are home or aren't home or whatever. You have school that you have to go to, and you learn things, and you learn about the things of science and different things like that. But most importantly, they teach you the Word of God. That's the most important thing. They teach you the Bible. And you say, you know, I don't really want to do this today. Oh, do we have to do this every day? But every day, the Word of God is getting in your heart and your soul and your mind. And God is building you up and strengthening you in the things of God, and you don't even know it. And so from the time you're 5 to the time you're 10, you've learned quite a bit. And from the time you're 10 to the time you're 15, you've learned a lot and you're maturing. So then all of a sudden, war breaks out and they attack your country. The enemy comes, they win, they defeat the country, they knock on your door, they open the door, soldiers are there. They're enemy soldiers. They say, give us your boys. We want your boys. You're coming with us. And these boys are basically kidnapped, ripped from the family, never see their father or mother again. They never see their home again. They never see most of their friends again. And they are taken off to another country. You see how realistic this picture is? They look back and they see their mom and dad for the last time. Maybe weeping and crying. Maybe the soldiers have even killed their parents. They don't know. I don't know. And these boys are taken. And it says, this is what it says about them. They were used to be young men. Usually, I don't want to scare you too much because I don't want you to have nightmares tonight. I don't want to go to bed. I might not be here tomorrow. But these were usually boys from the ages of 14 years old to 17, typically. Okay? And this is the kind of boys they were. Young men without any physical defects. In other words, they weren't handicapped. It says handsome. Well, what parent doesn't think your child's handsome? That could be any of you guys, right? Any of us. Well, maybe my mother didn't think I was, but that's okay. Showing aptitude for every kind of learning. So they wanted to learn. Well-informed. They'd already learned quite a bit. Quick to understand. They were able to understand things quite well. And qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language of the Babylonians, the literature, the history of the Babylonians. And so the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. So can you imagine? You're ripped from your mom and dad's home. You're ripped from your country. You're taken to another country. And they don't like the fact that you're a Christian. So let me ask you this again. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because that's the foundation for all eternity with Jesus Christ. These Babylonians wanted to change everything about them. They wanted to change their background. They wanted to change their language. They wanted to change the food they ate and what they drank. They wanted to change their customs. They wanted to change their religion. They wanted to change the fact that if you knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, which this is Old Testament, and I'm referring to New Testament, hope you'll allow me that leeway, that they wanted you to deny Jesus. So my question again is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because if you do, you need to learn the Word of God to be able to stand firm, and no matter what happens in your life, you will not deny Jesus Christ. That you firmly believe Him to death. There are Christians over in the other parts of the world today whose kids are getting their heads cut off because the parents will not denounce Jesus Christ. We're living in a sad state of affairs in this time. It's not over here yet. And let's pray to God it never does get over here like that. But it's bad. This whole country itself, if you look at its political situation, is wanting to deny Jesus Christ. It's wanting to deny Christians their rights. It's wanting to get rid of Christianity. They're screaming for tolerance, and yet they themselves are not tolerant. I don't want to get into a political argument with anyone here, but we need to be sure that we are prepared to stand for the truth of God's Word because we know it, because we know Him, and there's nothing they can do to change us. So if today they came and took you away from your parents and said, "We want to change you so that you don't believe in Jesus Christ," are you going to be able to stand against that? And with the power and help of God and His Word, I will always believe in Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. Are we prepared? So, I still haven't even got to the main point that I was wanting to present. So I'm going to get to it now. When Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, stood for God, why did they do that? In other words, where did that come from? Where did they learn that no matter what, they were going to stand firm for God, for the Lord? It didn't matter what people could do to them. It didn't matter. Their names got changed. You see, they were no longer Daniel. Daniel's name got changed to Belteshazzar. Hananiah's name got changed to Shadrach. Mishael got changed to Meshach, and Azariah to Abednego. They changed their names. They wanted to change everything about them so nothing about God and the Lord would remain. And did they change them? No. Because they had God and the Spirit of God on their side. And I believe dwelling in them at this time. It's quite different. The Old Testament's quite different on how the Spirit of God came. But I believe it took the power of the Spirit of God to be able to stand firm for the things of God. Where did they learn these things? Where did they learn these things? I'm willing to ask for a volunteer to give me an answer to that.
Well, they learned them because they knew the law.
Okay.
Because the law, so it said they couldn't partake of certain foods or animals.
So that's what they learned. Yes. But where did they learn it?
At home from their parents?
Yes. They learned it in the home. They learned it in the home. Now, for these kids here, or any other kids that we come across, are we influencing them for Christ and for God for eternity? I'm a grandparent, so it's a little different. I failed at this miserably, by the way. But I'm not going to quit. I have grandkids that I try to teach the Word of God to in my home when they're there. And it's rare. I don't get to see them. I don't get to raise them. But I can be an influence in their life. You as parents, and we as human beings, have the opportunity and the responsibility to teach the children the Word of God in the home. But I believe they also learn the Word of God from somewhere else. Anyone want to take a shot at that one? I mean, the home was number one. But where would be a second place that they might hear the Word of God? Blake?
A church?
Yes. Excellent, buddy. In their church, in their synagogue, in their temple. They would go there. You see, now it'd be easy for the kids and the family to say, I'm just going to stay home. I'm not going to go anymore. And then when the trials come and the situations arise and they don't have the confidence and the strength and the ability and the durability to stand for God, it's because we failed to get them to church. You see, I believe these men learn the Word of God in the home, number one priority. Number two, in church. Now you say, well, you know, they go to Sunday school, so that's it? No. No, see, we miss the point if we think Sunday school is going to teach. Sunday school has an influence on them. But each one of us do too. When was the last time you stopped and talked to one of the kids? Maybe never. Then let's start. Let's take an interest in these kids individually. I would love, not all at once and not all today, for everyone to take an interest in my two grandsons. Talk to them about the Lord. Tell them about things that God's doing in your life. And show them that God is real in your life. So that they will have a desire to want to know that God. That they themselves will want to live, to know Him and live for Him. Every one of us have a responsibility to stop and take time to be an influence for God, for Christ, in each one of our lives. If it's left up to me, I don't get a whole lot of time. So, are we in the home preparing the kids to go out into the world and face a world that denies Christ, that hates Christ, that will do everything they can to change them in believing in Jesus Christ? You see, you kids might say, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm strong, I can stand up to them. But what about the times that maybe you haven't reached yet? When the kids start laughing at you, look at him, he says he believes in Jesus Christ. He's a Christian, he's crazy. We know God's not real. And they start making fun of you, and then a whole group gets around you and starts chanting, yeah, he's crazy, he's crazy, he's crazy. These things happen. These things happen. And you start thinking, you know, if I just said I didn't believe in God, maybe they'd let me alone. That's not what God wants. He wants you to be strong and courageous and stand firm You believe in Jesus Christ. Do not deny him, but confess him before men. There's going to be times that you might meet a girl and the girl says, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't believe in God. And you say, yeah, but she's really good looking. I'd like for her to be my girlfriend. But did we teach them in the home that first part of the verse that I talked about, know you not that your bodies are the temple of the Spirit of God? To be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Did we teach them that? Are we teaching them the principles of God's Word that says, look, if there's a saved person and an unsaved person, don't even consider dating them. Don't even consider them as a future spouse. Don't think to yourself, I'm going to see that person saved and we're going to get married, or we're going to get married and then I'll see them saved. It doesn't happen that way. God's Word is clear. Don't get together in a marriage relationship in an unequal yoke situation. Teach our kids the Word of God. You kids need to know it starting at whatever age of maturity level you are for certain things. Don't do drugs. It's real simple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't defile your body with drugs. Don't get drunk on alcohol. Don't curse and swear. God talks about foolish jesting and foul conversation and things like that. Teach our kids the Word of God so that they stand firm in a world that is absolutely contradictory to the Word of God. Now, the message is be prepared. And you say to yourself, well, I haven't done so good a job at preparing. Start today. Go home and start today. It only takes a moment at the dinner table to bring up one thing. And it can continue. And you build precept upon precept, principle upon principle, truth upon truth, so that the foundation is solid. And your children, when you say, I'm training my children to go out into the world and to live for Christ, that when you let them go, and believe me, that's not a simple thing. It's not easy to let your kids go. Doesn't matter how much training, you hate to see them go out into that world. Doesn't matter how much you've taught them. It rips your heart out when you see them leave home and you know they're not coming back to stay there anymore. Oh, they'll come back and visit, but they're on their own. And that's what you raise them for. You raise them to see them stand on their own for Christ. And as they're walking away with their back to you, and you're in tears, praying to God to preserve them. Are your children prepared to stand for God in this godless world? May God help us to start preparing our children so that we can leave them in His care without any worries or fears. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your tremendous, tremendous love, the kindness of God in giving your Son for us. Oh, that we knew him more. Lord, help us to spend time with you. Help us to read your Word and find out more of how you want us to act and react, what you want us to think, how we should teach those that are in need, especially our children and our grandchildren. And oh God, we pray that there might not be one family here where the circle would be unbroken, but every single child, every single person in the family will know Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. We look to you for guidance. We get so busy sometimes, Lord. We don't take the time like we should. Please help us. Help us to take that time. Help us to be the men and women of God and the boys and girls of God that you want us to be. And help us to be able to stand firm on the Word of God, knowing your Word. And we pray that you will help us not only to memorize it,
but to learn it, to meditate upon it, and to apply it in our lives. That not only will we stand strong in Christ, but we will bring others to Christ. We look to you for safety in Jesus' name. Amen.